Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Greetings, Watoto family. Welcome to church today. Whether you are in Kampala, Jinja, Mbarara, or you're in Gulu, in our children's villages, or Juba, South Sudan. And also to the family that's joining us online and on air. Happy New Year. Yeah. We thank God for this brand new year, 2026. And as a Watoto leadership, we always pray and ask God to give us a word that would carry us through the year. And for 2026, God has given us a word, and it is simply this: Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered. And it comes from Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. And this was the prophet giving a message to Zerubbabel, who was rebuilding the temple. And this is what it says. So he said to me, Zechariah 4:6. So he said to me, this was pretty much Zechariah getting a message from God, giving it to Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. I'll read that message again that was given to Zerubbabel. That the temple would be rebuilt not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the way you lead us as a church. I thank you that every year you give us a specific word that would carry us through the year. This year, you are calling us to be spirit-led and spirit-empowered. Lord, as I unpack our theme for the year, would you speak to each and every single one of us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. When we began the School of Community Leadership, and God had challenged Pastor Gary to start preparing leaders that would be used by God to bring healing to the city and the nations, especially in the marketplace. We were among the first students, because every time we're doing something as a church, as pastors, we get to engage in it. And one of the books that really captured my attention and is one of those books that I always go back to and refer to is one called Spiritual Leadership that was written by a gentleman called Henry Blackaby. And he defines leadership, I think, in the best way leadership could be defined. His definition of spiritual leadership is simply this: moving people onto God's agenda. The part that really caught me in that definition is the whole idea of God's agenda. God's agenda. We live in a world today with so many agendas: political agendas, economic agendas, social agendas, environmental agendas, there are secular agendas. I mean, there's all kinds of agendas. We also have personal agendas. Our peers also have agendas for us. Parents, your organization has an agenda. But I want to submit to you today that the ultimate agenda that is worth pursuing with everything you've got is God's agenda. It's God's agenda. It is the best and ultimate pursuit any human being can have, to pursue God's agenda. What's God's agenda? It is His plan. It is God's schedule for whatever He wants to do. God's agenda is His purpose. It is His mission. It is His vision for your life, for us as a church. Simply put, God's agenda is God's will. Nothing can come close to that. God's agenda, His will, is good, it is perfect, it's pleasant. That's what the Bible says. And I want to assure you, my friend, every single one of us here, God has an agenda for your life. God has an agenda for your family. God has an agenda for your marriage. God has an agenda for your children. God has an agenda for your career, for your school, for your business. God has an agenda for us as Watoto Church. God has an agenda for your cell family. God has an agenda for your community. God has an agenda for our city. He has an agenda for our country. He has an agenda for Africa. He has an agenda for the whole world. Because He created it. And He has a purpose for everything. So my friends, if God's agenda is the ultimate agenda that everyone needs to pursue, whether for your life, family, or for our communities, or for our city, for our nation, there are two questions we must all answer. The first question is this: how can we get to know God's agenda? That's the first question. But the second one is this: how can we accomplish God's agenda? It's one thing to know, it's another thing to accomplish. It's very simple. This is how we get to know God's agenda: by being Spirit-led. This is how we accomplish God's agenda: by being Spirit-empowered. Come on! That's what it is about. You see, God's agenda cannot be accomplished by human might, wisdom, strategy, strength, or ambition. It is His agenda. And because it is His agenda, it can only be accomplished by His Spirit. His Spirit leading us. His Spirit empowering us. And so I want to explore a little bit more, especially the text that our theme comes from in the Bible, so we can get to appreciate our theme for 2026 a little bit more. The children of Israel, who are God's prized children, through whom He was going to bring salvation to the earth, when you read the Old Testament, they were ordinary people like us. They went through times where they honored and worshiped God, and then went through times where they completely forgot God and even began to worship other gods and began to sin. And when those moments came where they ignored God and began to sin and follow other gods, God's favor would go off of them. His protection would go off of them, and then they would be invaded by their enemies. And in one of these scenarios, the children of Israel were actually taken captive to Babylon. And while they were in captivity, there were many prophets who came speaking to them, pretty much telling them lies, telling them what their itching ears would love to hear. But God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, and He wrote a letter to them. And it is found in Jeremiah 29. And in that letter, He was telling them, hey, listen, all these prophets who are giving you these words of your itching ears, forget about them. Here is the truth, Jeremiah tells them, that you are going to be in captivity for 70 years. And so because you're going to be in captivity for 70 years, build houses, settle there. And then He brings that scripture that many of us love, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And He says to them that this is what God says to you: I alone know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. There are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future that is filled with hope. That even in captivity, God's agenda was still good for them. He was saying, I alone have an agenda for you. And it's an agenda to prosper you and not to harm you, even in captivity. That's so reassuring. There is no amount of captivity or failure that you have experienced that can stop God's plan. And this is what God said to them. He continues and he says that if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. You will find me. You will get to know that agenda. So anyways, 70 years passed and the children of Israel returned to their land. And the first thing that they wanted to do was to rebuild the temple. Because when they were taken captive, what the Babylonians did was not only to take them into exile, but was to destroy their temple. Because the temple was their identity. The temple was the place where they went to seek God's face. The temple was the place where God said to them, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, God would hear from heaven, he would forgive sin and he would heal the land. It was the symbol of their victory. And when the Babylonians came, they destroyed the temple. And so the returning Israel community comes back and they want to rebuild the temple. So they begin and set the foundation in place. And as soon as the foundation was done, the work stalled. The work stopped. For 15 to 16 years, nothing was happening. Somehow, that makes me think about us sometimes. I'm very sure that there is people today who have dreams that have stalled. You have projects that have stalled. You have some ideas of things that you could do and you started, but it has stalled. Whether people know it and you've verbalized it, or you've silently kept it in your heart. But we all have some of those things that have stalled. That's the reality of our lives. And when things get stalled, like our dreams, our plans, we start to feel stuck. The feeling of stagnation is not a good feeling. So even when a brand new year starts, for you, it's going to be business as usual. Because you've experienced delay after delay, opposition after opposition. You feel completely deflated and defeated. You are so discouraged and devastated and very frustrated. You feel left out again. This can be in your work as well. It could be for your business. It could be for your family. Maybe it's for your cell family. And that's the context in which the children of Israel are. The work has stalled. What caused that stagnation? What caused that work to stall? Here are some things, and they are the same that stole our dreams today and our plans. One, they had external pressure. They had hostile neighbors who never wanted them to see that temple built. Please understand, just because you're pursuing God's agenda doesn't mean you won't have enemies. There are people who just do not want you to succeed. They don't want you to live for God. And they'll try to pull you down. That's what happened. They had hostile neighbors. But beyond the hostile neighbors, they also had a political challenge. The neighbors went and talked to the Persian rulers and said, if you allow these people to build their temple, they are going to rebel against you. And so the Persian king sent an army and stopped the work. That's what happened. And because now they had hostile neighbors, then you have political oppression coming in there. They had fear. Psychologically, they were afraid. They thought, if we try to do this, we're going to be arrested. And then, of course, being returnees, they didn't have much in terms of resources. So that was also a bit of a challenge. There was also another big challenge they had that stole the work. It was a comparison challenge. Some of the people coming back, in fact, all of them, they had heard about Solomon's temple. They knew how big and magnificent it was. But the foundation that the returnees had already set up was already small. And so some people came and said, you know what? Why should we bother? This foundation is so small. When we think about Solomon's temple, it was magnificent. Let's not continue, because this is nothing compared to what Solomon built. And this is a big trap we have. Sometimes we are afraid to begin humbly with something God has called us to do because you're comparing with something in the past that was magnificent. And you're like, can something really good come out of what we're doing? And they began to compare. And even within, they began to discourage each other. But the biggest thing that stalled the work was a shift in priority. They ceased putting God's agenda first, and they put their own agendas first. Remember, they were just returning. And so the thought of, why should we spend on building God's house when we don't have houses ourselves? They began to focus on building their own houses. And so what did God do? And that's why the work stalled for 15, 16 years. God sent two prophets. One of them was called Haggai, the other one was Zechariah, where our theme scripture comes from. Haggai came and he spoke to the children of Israel. He said, hey guys, consider your ways. You are off of God's agenda now. You're beginning to pursue your own agenda. And Haggai is a simple book to read. It's just two chapters. Go and read it. He says, you're beginning to pursue your own agenda. And because you're pursuing your own agenda, look at what's happening to you. Listen to me, my friends. Sometimes we think that we need to put God's agenda aside and pursue our own agenda and think we will succeed. We will not. That's what happened to these guys. They had what seemed to be apparent success, but actually they were going through circles. Here's what Haggai begins to address, that spiritual drift, that shift in priority. They were working hard, yet getting little reward. They were experiencing economic frustration, and they were never satisfied. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 and 7 says, this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. Does that sound like some people? You drink, but never have your fill. You even put on clothes, but you are never warm enough. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. That was the message from Haggai. You have gone off track and you have ceased pursuing God's agenda. You're pursuing your own agenda. Look where you are. And so the people considered their ways and said, we need to go back and begin to pursue God's agenda. So they said, let's get back to working, to rebuilding God's temple after 15, 16 years. And as they were getting ready to start building the temple, God sends Zechariah. And God says to Zechariah in different visions, but in Zechariah chapter 4, he gives Zechariah this message, especially to Zerubbabel, who was the governor then, and to Joshua, who was the high priest then. He says to them, Zechariah chapter 4, where a theme verse comes from. He says, when it comes to rebuilding this temple, the Lord said to me, Zechariah said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It will not be by might. It won't be by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And then he carries on in verse 7. What are you, mighty mountain? Because there's going to be a huge task before Zerubbabel. Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then, I love this, he will bring out the capstone to the shouts of God bless it, God bless it. The capstone was the final stone that would be laid to say, project complete, mission accomplished. And God begins to speak to him, and that would not be by might or by power, but by his spirit. Then the word of the Lord came to me, verse 8, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Then verse 10, who dares despise the day of small things? And there's a reason why. Since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. I love that. Never despise days of humble beginnings that are spirit-led and spirit-empowered. Because those kinds of humble beginnings which are pursuing God's agenda, it says God's eyes are watching. Now the phrase seven eyes is just a phrase to refer to the perfection of God's eyes. He watches and sees everything. That small plan you put in place when God gives you an idea, he says it. That little saving you put aside for something God has asked you to do, he sees it. And he will make sure if you're honoring him, he'll bring it to accomplishment. And that's why he tells Zerubbabel, please understand, you are not going to accomplish this agenda of mine of rebuilding the temple by might. It won't happen by human strength. It won't happen by human resources. It won't happen by numbers. It's not going to happen by power, God says to Zerubbabel. It's not going to be through your human ability. It's not going to be through your influence. It won't even happen by your great strategy. He says it, this work, when it is God's agenda, my friends, it can't be accomplished by human power or human strength. But, he says, by my spirit. By my spirit. That is good news, my friends. It simply means this. Any of us, regardless of our talent level or education level, can pursue and accomplish God's agenda. Any of us. Some of us write ourselves off because we compare ourselves to others. This is a comforting and reassuring word. You don't need to be like others. You simply need to be spirit-led and spirit empowered, and you will accomplish God's agenda for your life, however big it is, however delayed it is. It's not going to be by might or by power, but by his spirit. Let me tell you, my friends, when I think about by God's spirit, two thoughts come to my mind. Number one, nothing on planet earth can equal the move of God's spirit. When God's spirit moves, it's like a wave. You cannot stop the move of the spirit of God. You cannot. At Watoto Church, we have experienced the move of God's spirit for over 40 years. We know it. We've seen it. Just last year alone, listen, over 45,000 people said yes to Jesus through our small efforts that were trusted to him. About 33,000 of those here in Uganda and Juba, South Sudan. The other 12,000 through our children's choir. And you know how it happened? Not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. When I think about the generosity of the people at Kwatoto Church, it is spirit-led, spirit-empowered. I am telling you, my friends, to get people to give, because some people crank, they manipulate, they sell things to people. We don't do that here at Kwatoto Church. We simply invite people to participate with God's work. And God, by his spirit, begins to lead people to be generous. He begins to empower them so that they can be generous. Our miracle offering is now at 90%. Come on. Of our $2 million goal. That's phenomenal. It's the highest we've ever given. And we're going to hit our $2 million goal and exceed it, not by might, not by power, but because God is leading. His spirit is leading us. Just one more about the move of God. I mean, it's when God's spirit moved. We were with the pastors for our pastor's retreat. And we were praying through different things. We had a night where we said, God, come speak to us. And while we were there, God began to release different words to us. And one of the pastors got a word concerning property in Kira. We had struggled. I tell you, my friends, we had struggled. You find a property and then it has issues. The prices were through the roof and we were getting discouraged. And God gave a picture to the pastor. And this is what the pastor said. He said, I usually don't get this, but I see a hand releasing property for Kira. 1 week after that, a property all opened up that is now going to be the new home for Kwatoto Church, Kira. Listen, nothing can equal the move of God's Spirit. Let him move in your family. Let him move in your work. Let him move in your community, in your self family. Don't try to do these things by might or by power. Let God's Spirit move. But the second aspect to this is the specific message to Zerubbabel. And this is where it makes sense for you. Because it was a message to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. What was God saying? That Zerubbabel, my agenda will only be accomplished through being spirit-led and being spirit-empowered. That's very true for every one of us. What does it mean to be spirit-led? To be spirit-led, my friends, means that the decisions you make every single day need to be decisions that you've consulted Holy Spirit about. Every day. Did you know that human beings averagely make 25,000 to 35,000 decisions daily? I was reading about it and I was fascinated. You chose what to wear today. You chose where to wear it from. You chose what to eat. Some of you have chosen what you're going to eat. We make so many choices. And even when you've chosen what to eat, when the food comes, you choose what part to eat, what part to leave. You choose whether to leave your plate on the table, take it to the... We make so many choices. Some we don't even think about. But there are some decisions that are life-changing. Listen, who will I marry? Should I quit work now and start a business? Should I quit business and start work? Where should we live? Where should my kids go to church? Those are major decisions. and you need to hear from the Holy Spirit. Remember, God has an agenda for your life. And his agenda is the best agenda. How do you know it? Not by might, not by power, but by being spirit-led. Being spirit-led also means, my friends, Holy Spirit will give you words to say every day you are talking. The Bible says the power of life and death is in your tongue. A spirit-led tongue is one that speaks life and encouragement. Some of you have moments before your boss that the next sentence you say will determine your promotion. But sometimes we miss it. When you go for a board meeting, tense moments, invite the Holy Spirit. He will give you what to say. Holy Spirit will guide you who to trust. You're going to meet many people. Oh, how I talk to people now who come and tell you, Pastor, I trusted so and so, and they just disappointed me. Why? You based everything on your natural mindset. Everything seems okay, but there's what you don't know. The Bible says we know in part. Holy Spirit knows everything. In fact, Jesus says he will guide you into all truth. How do I know whether to trust this guy or not? How do I know who to employ or not? Holy Spirit led. There's a lot we will talk about, but let me end with this part here when it comes to being led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit reveals the heart of God to us. He reveals the agenda of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, which is Vanita's one favorite scripture, I believe. This is what it says. However, as it is written, okay, listen, because God's heart is beyond our human understanding. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, okay? Because that's God's agenda. You can't put it in a box. There are things God wants to do for you that you've never seen. You've never thought about. I know you're educated, but he knows way more. Never imagined. And he says, those are the things he has prepared for those who love him. And these are the things. How does God reveal them to us? By his Spirit. Wow! Being spirit-led leads you into the very heart of God's agenda for your life. For your family, for our community, for us as a church. And it says that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So being Spirit-led is really keeping in step with him. Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are what? Are children of God. What does it mean to be Spirit-empowered? As I begin to land the plan. To be Spirit-empowered simply means this. Our natural abilities have limits. We are limited humanly. Our talents have limits. To be Spirit-empowered means we let God break the human limits we have. And he will do it in order to accomplish his agenda. The only reason God empowers us, my friends, is for his agenda. It's not to fulfill our own agendas. It's about his agenda. I think about Samson in the Bible, in the Old Testament. The Bible says Samson was a strong man physically. But the only time Samson would really push back the Philistines was when the Spirit of God was upon him. Every time the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, he defeated his enemies. And one time, he broke the covenant and got his hair cut because he allowed the deceit of a woman, Delilah. And then she came and said, Samson, your enemies have come. You know what Samson thought? I'll do it in my might and in my strength. What happened? He didn't even realize that Holy Spirit had left. And though he was physically strong, he could not accomplish the agenda. Spirit empowered allows you to accomplish God's agenda beyond your human abilities. Jesus, when he came on earth, he was led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. If Jesus needed to be empowered by the Spirit, who are we then? Luke chapter 4, he says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is after his temptation, by the way. The Bible says news about him spread throughout the countryside. He kept teaching, and then he went back to Nazareth, the Bible says, and then he went to the synagogue, and he found a scroll. And in verse 18, Luke chapter 4, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. That word anointing means the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has empowered me. You know, my friends, to be Spirit empowered is to be anointed by God to do his agenda for your life, for your work, for us as a church. Do not try to go through this year trying to accomplish God's agenda in your own strength. We need the power of God. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, before you go to be witnesses, wait until you receive power from on high. From on high. So friends, as I conclude, God is asking us this year to be Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered. He has an agenda for us as Watoto Church. He has an agenda for you as an individual. He has an agenda for your career, for your business. He has an agenda for your family, for your kids. God's agenda, it is there. It is the ultimate agenda, but the only way to accomplish it is through the Spirit of God. Being Spirit-led and being Spirit-empowered. We live in amazing days. These are the last days. We may not be in the last day, but we are living in the last days. And the Bible says in the last days, this is happening in Kampala, it's happening around the world. There'll be an increase in spiritual deception. False Christ, false prophets all over the place. Distorted teaching. In the last days, the Bible says, there'll be moral breakdown in society. We see it everywhere. Self-centeredness, pride, greed, and immorality. In the last days, the Bible talks about global conflict and instability. Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars. Nations in turmoil, we see that. What does that do? It brings fear and uncertainty. In the last days, there will be disasters and creation will be groaning, famines and earthquakes. And sometimes when we watch these things, we keep wondering, how are we ever going to make it? The Bible also says in the last days, there will be hostility towards those who are faithful, the believers. There will be persecution. In the last days, there will be a rise of lawlessness. People will grow cold in their love for God. Compromise will be on the increase, the Bible says. But also the Bible says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit. As things get worse, God's Spirit is available for us. He says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. What was God saying? God was saying, I am going to make available access to the Holy Spirit so he can lead you in these last days, so he can empower you in these last days. And once you're Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered, you become unstoppable. Come on. Come on. You become unstoppable. And that's God's desire for us this year. Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey, hey,